Phone check, microphone check.
They should be joining us shortly, I'm sure. Who just joined?
Donald Scarinci.
Thank you, Donald. Give it another few seconds and see if Dr. Brown joins.
You presume the transcriber's on the call?
Pardon
yes,
me?
He is. We've already talked to him.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. This is the first day of a two-day public meeting. I'd like to remind each member committee to mute his or her phone when not talking and to announce your name at the beginning of each time you speak. Additionally, I remind the public to mute your phone and that there isn't listening and only hearing for the public. Thank you. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce the members of the committee and please respond present when I call your name. Sam Gill.
Present.
Dr. Lawrence Brown.
Brown.
Dr. Brown. I got some feedback there. Dr. Brown, are you on? Dr. Dean Kudlowski?
Present.
Thank you. Mary Lannan?
Present.
Thank you. Mike Moran?
Present.
Robin Solomon?
Present.
Thank you. Donald Scarinci?
Present.
Thanks. Jeannie Stevens Solomon?
Present.
Thank you. Dennis Tucker?
Present.
Dr. Peter Van Alphen?
Present.
Back to Dr. Brown. Did you join yet? Okay, we'll come back if he gets back on. I'm Tommy Ram, the chair of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee. We do have a quorum. We do have a quorum. In addition, I heard, but for the record, is Robert Hoag on the line?
Yes, present.
Thank you, Robert. Today's agenda is for the day one of this public meeting, and it includes the recognition of service by member Robert Hoag of the CCAC, with the swearing in of our new CCAC member, Dr. Peter Van Alphen. We will then ask for the acceptance of letters to the secretary and approval of the minutes from our June 2020 meeting. Following, we will have a review and discussion today of the obverse and reverse candidate designs for the 2022 U.S. Army Silver Medal. Before we begin, who just joined? Okay, before we begin our proceedings, would members of the press please identify yourself on the phone with your name and organization? I get here. Brandon was on.
Yeah, Brandon Hall with Coin Update.
Thank you, Brandon.
Mike Gunther with Coin News.
Mike, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, for the record, I'd like to confirm the following minutes that are on the call today. Please indicate present after I've called your name. Director of the United States Mint, David Ryder.
Present.
Thank you. From the Office of Design Management, the Chief, April Stafford. April?
Present.
Thank you. Senior Design Specialist, Megan Sullivan.
Present.
Design Manager, Pam Bohr.
Present.
Thank you, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Design Manager, Beniza Hancock. Beniza?
Present.
Thank you. Design Manager, Roger Vasquez. Roger. Okay.
Lawrence Brown.
Lawrence, thank you. Design manager, Russell Evans.
Present.
Thank you. The United States Mint Chief Engraver, Joe Mena.
Present.
Thank you. Manager of Design and Engraving, Ron Harrigal.
Present.
And our Director of Legislative and Intergovernmental Affairs and the Liaison to the CCAC, Jennifer Warren.
Present.
Thank you. Our Senior Legal Counsel and Counsel to the CCAC, Mr. Greg Wyman.
Good morning, Tom. Present.
Good morning. Thank you. Deputy Director of Legislative and Intergovernmental Affairs, Betty Birdsong. Betty?
Present.
Thank you. Back to if Roger joins. Roger, you joined yet? Okay. I'm sure I'll join a little shortly. And finally, the liaison for the 2022 United States Army Silver Medal is Dr. Glenn Williams. Did I hear that he was joining at about 11:20? Did someone say?
That's correct.
Okay. So we'll
this is Pam, by the way.
Okay. Thank you. We will recognize him at that time. I'd like to begin with the men. Are there any issues that need to be addressed before we start?
There is
okay.
none.
Pardon me?
This is Jennifer. There is none.
Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to the first order of business, and that's the recognition of the service of Robert Hogue. Robert has served for 8 years in the position of the member that is qualified by virtue of his or her education, training, or experience as a nationally or internationally recognized curator in the United States of Numismatic Collection. Robert was first appointed to the CCAC in 2012. He is reappointed to the same position to June of 2016. His term ended in June of 2020 and has been serving in a holdover status until the secretary appointed his successor, which occurred last month. Robert was appointed to the position due in significant part to his extensive experience as a numismatic curator, both for the American Numismatic Association and the American Numismatic Society. Robert has served as curator of the American Numismatic Association from 1981 to 2001 and curator emeritus at the American Numismatic Society, where he served as curator of North American coins and currency, and that was from 2001 until 2013. During his 8 years of service on the CCAC, Robert has brought his expertise and thoughtfulness to each of the meetings. And over the years, Robert and I have developed that numismatic relationship that we all get, particularly as being part of this organization, but particularly his involvement at the ANA and so forth. And a number of us have those special relationships. And Robert, you're certainly a mentor, and what you brought to the committee and numismatics in general is priceless. And I know that member Dennis Tucker would also like to make a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've known Robert Hogue, and I've worked with him on a variety of projects over the past 15 years or so. He's written book chapters that I've edited and published. We co-taught a class on research and writing at the American Numismatic Association Summer Seminar a few years ago. And for 4 years, we've been collaborators here on the CCAC. Bob Hogue has always brought sharp insight, unparalleled knowledge, and good humor to the committee's discussions. I believe the Mint has made an excellent choice in Peter Van Alphen as our new specialist in numismatic curation. That does soften the loss of our longstanding curator as we move forward. But we'll miss Robert Hogue, and I thank my friend and wish him the best. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dennis. And once again, Robert, your experience and your thoughtfulness reach out to the numismatic world from many different avenues, and they're certainly recognized, and to say not the least, the time frame that you spent here at the CCAC. Director Ryder would also like to say a few words. Director Ryder?
Sure. Thanks, Tom.
I want to first thank Robert for his 8 years of service to the United States Mint and the Citizens Coin Advisory Committee. Robert, I personally want to tell you I'm going to miss you, pal. You've done a great job. You're a true numismatic academic, and you've been an exceptionally dedicated member of the CCAC since your first appointment, as Tom said, back in 2012. But over the past 8 years, you have also consistently provided thoughtful and insightful feedback, and your contributions will forever be linked to the development of many of the most recognizable United States coins and medals. Thank you for your service as a member specifically qualified in numismatic curation from 2012 to 2020. At some point, hopefully not in the not too distant future, we will invite you back in person to present you with a Citizens Coin Advisory Committee Public Service Award back here in Washington so we can appropriately recognize your 8-year contribution to the United States Mint and to the CCAC. So for anyone who's not aware, the CCAC Public Service Award includes a framed certificate, a 3-inch Alexander Hamilton Secretary's Medal, and Robert's choice of a 3-inch bronze duplicate medal reviewing during his past tenure as a CCAC member. Maybe he'll select my medal that's being looked at today. Who knows?
That would be my choice.
Yeah. But on a serious note, I just want you to know that everybody from the board thanks you and congratulates you for your citizenship and your service and your dedication to the U.S. government, to the United States Mint, and to the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee. So, Robert, we're going to miss you, buddy. You've done a great job. Godspeed. And don't make yourself a stranger around here. You're always going to be welcome back.
Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Director Ryder. Now I'd like to allow Robert to say a few words. Unfortunately, Robert, as you know, doing this remotely is very difficult, but there are certainly rounds of applause following Director Ryder's comments. And we look forward to having you formally back at a formal meeting. But if you have a few words today, that would be great. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you very much, Tom. I must say I'm really touched and pleased and have to tell you that it has been a great privilege for me to serve in this position. And it's really been a wonderful pleasure to meet the fantastic team of talented and dedicated people who work at the U.S. Mint as the staff and the artists and the many talented people in all capacities. And it's also been a wonderful opportunity for me to get to know and to work with the other members of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee. All in all, for me, this has been a wonderful experience of public service, and I've enjoyed the relationships with everyone. I would like to thank all of you, and I look forward to continuing to associate as much as possible with all of the fantastic people that I have come to know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert, and a round of applause for sure. And we look forward to seeing you in person when we can, and our best to you and the family. We'll get all through some of this other that we're doing, and we'll see you in person.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say, too, that I'm really very pleased that my friend and colleague Peter Van Alphen has been selected as my successor. He's also a fellow Westerner and followed me to the ANS shortly after I started there. And I'm sure he will be a wonderful addition to this committee. Thank you.
Perfect. And that is our next order of business, and that is the introduction and swearing in of Dr. Peter Van Alphen, who will begin serving in the same position that Robert held. Dr. Peter Van Alphen was appointed by Secretary Mnuchin on August 11th of 2020. Peter is the current chief curator at the American Numismatic Society and has been at the ANS for nearly 20 years. Additionally, he served on the K. Stanford Saltus Award Committee, creation of several of the ANS online resources, and directs the Society's Eric P. Newman Summer Graduate Seminar. Peter has also served 15 years as an editor of the ENS magazine, has published books and articles on ancient coinage and monetary systems and U.S. and European medallic art. Let's all welcome Dr. Van Alphen. Round of applause, indeed. At this time, I'd like to call on Director David Ryder of the United States Mint, who will at this time administer the oath of office. Director Ryder?
Thanks again, Tom. And Peter, welcome to the CCAC Advisory Committee. You're a very knowledgeable and qualified person for this slot as the curator. You've got big shoes to fill from Robert's leaving, but we all know that you will do that job in an outstanding manner. And in just a moment, I have the honor of administering the oath of office. And with this oath, you will fill a unique and special position on the CCAC, previously held by, as I said, a very select group of people, such as Ute Wartenberg, Arthur Houghton, and of course, Robert Hoag. So Dr. Van Alphen, Peter, if you mind, please raise your right hand and repeat after me.
All right.
I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
I do solemnly swear that I will protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or obligation.
That I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
That I will, I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
That I will and faithfully discharge the duties of the office.
The duties of this office.
Which I'm about to enter.
Which I'm about to enter.
Peter, congratulations and welcome to the Citizens Coin Advisory Committee. We all, including me, especially me, look forward to having you as a new team member. You've got a great group of people you're going to be working with. And now I'd like you to give the opportunity to say a few words, if you like.
Well, thank you, Director Ryder. It really is a privilege and an honor for me to join this committee. This is a committee that I've been aware of for quite some time because I've had colleagues such as Uta and Robert on the committee. And I really have wanted to participate in this process. So the fact that I am joining this committee really, to me, is, you know, a significant honor, and I very much look forward to this service. But I just want to follow up on a couple of comments that you yourself have made, as well as Tom and Dennis, about Robert Hoag. You know, I worked with Robert for, you know, a dozen years or so here at the ANS, and I have to say, as Tom said, he very much was a mentor to me as well. In fact, I used to joke that he was a walking numismatic encyclopedia, which he truly is. His numismatic knowledge and, in fact, historical knowledge is just astounding. So I really do feel that, you know, there are big shoes to fill, as you said, and I do hope that you know, I'll be able to call upon Bob on occasion for questions or comments as they come up. So thank you.
Thanks very much, Peter. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you very for the your dedication and joining the CCAC. And with that, let's turn to some additional business we have at the committee today. And our first item on the agenda is the review and approval of the minutes and secretary letters from our last meeting. Are there any comments on the documents? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes and letters?
This is Lawrence Brown. I move to approve the minutes and the letters.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Is there a second?
Jean Stevens-Solomon, I second.
Thank you, Jean. Any objections? If not, all in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Without
aye.
Objection, thank you. Without objections, the minutes and letters are approved. Moving along now, April Stafford, the Chief of the Mint's Office of Design Management, will present the candidate obverse and reverse designs for the 2022 United States Army Silver Medal. But before we do that, is...
Hello?
I just wanted to see if today the... if the liaison joined our call yet.
Yeah, it's Glenn Williams. I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, April, thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. Williams, if you don't mind, if you're able to mute your phone, at the end of the introduction, I will ask you if you'd like to make a few comments before the committee deliberates on the candidate design.
Sure.
All right, thank you. Okay, so some background. The United States Army Silver Medal is the last in the series of the Armed Forces medals that pay tribute to each service for its history and unique character. The medals for this program will be struck on a 2-inch diameter planchet containing 2.5 ounces of silver. Designs were previously developed for the United States Air Force, Coast Guard, Navy, and Marine Corps. Created on June 14, 1775, by a resolution of the Continental Congress, the Army is the oldest of the United States Armed Forces and has been protecting and defending America even before the nation's founding. Through its original mission of defending American liberty in the 13 colonies, the Army proved its capabilities and persisted through the challenges and demands of a difficult 8-year war to secure the independence of this new nation. Since then, the Army has grown into the principal ground fighting force that serves the needs of the American people and our nation in many ways. In addition to defending the country, the Army protects national interests and fulfills military responsibilities, including defending America's allies, engaging in peacekeeping and humanitarian operations, and responding to non-combat emergencies. In developing the portfolio, the United States Mint has worked closely with Dr. Glenn Williams, a senior historian for the U.S. Army Center of Military History, to identify appropriate concepts and ensure historical and technical accuracy. Multiple designs are favored by the stakeholder, and preferences are listed along with the design description. Dr. Williams is with us for today's discussion, so should you have any questions about the designs, or the identified preferences, he's available to respond. Dr. Williams, would you please say a few words before we begin the candidate design?
Thank you for doing this as representing Army history and the commemorations function of the Army Center of Military History, we think is most appropriate, and we're glad we were invited to participate.
Wonderful. Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, as we did last time with our virtual meeting, I'll be moving through the obverse and reverse designs, but because the committee has received the design descriptions, I will only stop and read the descriptions of the designs that have been identified as a preference or a favored design by one of our stakeholders, or our liaison, or the CFA. So we'll start with...
That's correct.
Okay. And if I could just ask everybody to mute your phone as we move through the candidate designs. We'll start with the obverse designs. We have obverse 1, 2, 3, 3A, obverse 4. Obverse 4 symbolizes the history of the United States Army through depictions of soldiers from different eras. The foreground features a modern-day soldier in combat uniform aiming an M4 rifle and a Continental soldier brandishing a musket. The smaller figures in the background include a Civil War-era Union cavalryman and World War II paratroopers. Included inscriptions are U.S. Army and One Team, one fight. Obverse 4 is an obverse design favored by the stakeholder, Dr. Williams. In addition, this design was one of two obverse designs recommended by the Commission of Fine Arts. Moving on to obverse 5. 6, 6A, 6B, 7, 9, 11, 12, 12A, and obverse 13. Obverse 13 depicts a Continental soldier and a modern soldier at the ready with the weapons of their respective era. They represent the continuity of the United States Army since its beginnings and its continuing mission to defend our country. Included inscriptions are, "This will defend," and "Since 1775. Again, obverse 13 is an obverse design favored by the stakeholder, Dr. Williams. In addition, this design was one of two obverse designs recommended by the CFA. That concludes the obverse designs. Moving on to the reverse designs, we have reverse 1 and reverse 2. Reverse 2 juxtaposes the 7 core values of the Army against the U.S. Army flag, with both the flag and its streamers lifted by a breeze. The streamers from several major battles have visible text: Lexington, 1775, Appomattox, 1865, The Meuse Argonne from 1918, Luzon 1944 to 1945, Normandy 1944, and Abeyance 2014 to 2015. Inscriptions are the Army's 7 core values of loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. Reverse 2 is a reverse design favored by the stakeholder, Dr. Williams. In addition, this design was one of two reverses recommended by the CFA. Moving on, we have reverse 3, 4, 4A, 5, reverse 6. Reverse 6 features the Army's 7 core values of loyalty, duty, selfless service, respect, integrity, personal courage, and honor, centrally inscribed. Around the bottom border, the United States Army emblem is flanked by laurel branches. The additional inscription, United States Army, is arced across the top. Reverse 6 is a reverse design favored by the stakeholder, Dr. Williams. In addition, this design was one of two reverse designs recommended by the CFA. Moving on, we have reverse 7 and 8. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes the candidate designs. Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, April, and thank you, Dr. Williams, also for all the time that has gone into this significant silver medal design. And with that, I'd like to now ask if Joe Mena and Ron Hergel have anything to share with the committee as it goes to the design of the medal. Joe?
Not really. Some of the flags might be a little bit difficult to see to coin size, but I think they're doable artistically. So that would be my only concern.
Okay, Joe. Thank you. Ron, any additional comments?
Yes, this is Ron. No, I have no comments. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any technical or legal questions from the committee about this program or designs before in our general discussions? Since there are none, let's begin our consideration. I'd like all members to please try to comments to 5 minutes or less. Don't forget to identify yourself when you start. We'll be keeping track of the time and we'll indicate when time is up, and we'll ask hearing that you please wrap up your comments when you hear that. Additionally, if any members have questions or comments to anything to discuss, please refrain, and we would like to bring those up when you're recognized at the end and when we ask for additional comments. So let's begin. Donald?
I like obverse 1. You know, you know, certainly better than Obverse 4. What I don't like about Obverse 4 is the, you know, there's too much going on with the parachutes and the, you know, and the horse, and those objects are just too small for the palette. So this again, you know, I mean, I know people like it because it crams a lot of information into the obverse of a metal, but by doing that, we always talk about collages. We used to call them storyboards. They're collages. That's a collage, you know, just to get a lot of things in it. And I think we really make the point in a simple, clean way with the colonial soldier and the contemporary soldier. So I liked one. I mean, I certainly, I could certainly see the attraction for Obverse 13. It accomplishes the same thing. So, you know, I would rather see 13 than 4. In terms of the reverse, I understand the recommended reverse, the attraction for that. That's Obverse 2. I kind of like Reverse 4 though. You know, and I think that's, you know, that's kind of interesting, and I could see people, you know, looking at that medal and, you know, really looking at the, you know, at the battles, and there's a little more history, in Reverse 4, and a little more known history, than these basic slogans, which, you know, I'm sure they have meaning for people in the military, you know, but I think from the general public point of view, Reverse 4 would be my preference. That's it.
Thank you, Donald. Michael, Mike Moran?
I'm here. I like Obverse 13. I think it's the good use of negative space. It's simple in terms of the inscriptions. There's action in there in terms of, you look at the revolutionary soldier, the wind is blowing the tail of his jacket. All around, I think it's well executed. I like it better than any of the others. In terms of the reverse, I think that number 2 is a creative design in terms of handling the inscriptions that need to be handled. You don't get totally overwhelmed with the streamers on the flag because the ones that are engraved or inscribed are kept at a minimum. It will get my vote. But then you go down to number 4. Donald has a point. I'm reminded of the governor's mansion at Williamsburg. And there is a display in there as you walk into the main, I guess, atrium of that building. And instead of the streamers, it is rifles, or muskets in this case, in a semicircle across the top. It's a very common use of weapons to denote power from the very beginnings of the United States. And I think this is a creative way of displaying the campaign ribbons and streamers. Also, you do get Vietnam in here. I think you have to think about marketing. And those Army veterans that participated in some of these campaigns are going to be looking at that sort of thing. So it does have marketing advantages, I think, over number 2. I'll probably be splitting my vote between the 2. That's it, Tom.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Dr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I really am so enthusiastic about this opportunity. And when April said that it was the last, she didn't say this was the best. Now, I say that in the interest of full transparency. I served in the U.S. Army. Admittedly, I was drafted and served during the Vietnam conflict. So as I think about these designs, I must confess, I look at it from the standpoint of how John Q. Public or how someone who's a veteran would be looking at that. In that respect, I can see value in obverse number four because it does allow for that sense of the different conflicts in which the U.S. Army has been engaged. I must confess, I love obverse 12A because, again, it has that diversity of different types of conflicts. I do appreciate the comments that my colleagues said, but when the design said, let's say, this will defend, for John Q. Public, I have to think about what is it that we're defending. When the designs that have the flag, I can sort of understand that better, but from the obverse side, I probably would go between 4 and 12A. With respect to the reverse, I just love reverse 4 because it allows for the different banners. And that, but I also must confess, the slogans are really something that's important to me as a veteran because one team, one fight was really meant something, particularly in when you're in the heat of a battle. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, and especially a thank you for your service as well. Mary Lannan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As far as the reverses go, I do like number one. I can see what Donald meant when he was talking about it. I find it a very compelling design. But actually, my favorite obverse is going to be. Let me scroll down to it. I also would like to give some kudos to. The design for number 9, I thought that was a very powerful, very strong design. But I believe that I'm going to give my votes to design number 13. I think it's very well done. I like the fact that the points of the rifles and guns are off the palette because it makes it more immediate. It makes the soldiers larger on the palette. And I just think that that's exceedingly well done. Now, for the reverse, I see that they had suggested that number 2 and number 6 would be the reverses. I don't really favor either one of them. It took me a long, long time to look at reverse number 2 and figure out that that was actually a flag underneath it that was folded. I don't want to have to think that hard. In terms of Donald kind of voting for 4 or 4A, my immediate thought when I looked at that design was, oh, it's a peacock because of all the banners coming out. So if we all sort of cluster around design number 4, I think I might prefer 4A because then it's easier when you pick it up in hand to read it and to read the battles. And I do believe that Vietnam conflict banner should be included in this. But I'm going to throw something new into it. I really liked reverse 8. You see the banners. It can be any one of any number of fights. You see the core values cleanly laid around on the outside. And you can almost hear the flag snapping in the breeze. I liked the star in the back, and I felt that Joe and Ron and the team could do some really interesting things with that background. And those are my choices. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mary. Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the obverse, I really prefer obverse 13 as far as design goes. It has the action that's been discussed. It has the past and the present. And I also like the fact that the soldier of the present appears to be a woman. That wasn't raised in the description, but I think that's the case, judging by the hairstyle. The wording, I think, is perfect, and for that reason, I prefer 13. However, I also liked 9. I liked the clean aspect of it, the past and the present, looking backward, looking forward. And I like 12A. I'm not positive how well that will translate to the size of the medal, but I thought that the artist did a wonderful job of depicting the soldiers of the various time periods. For the reverse, number two was something that I did like, but I was bothered by the fact that Vietnam was not included. And for that reason, I think that 4A is the best design for the reverse. It does include the various significant battles, includes the emblem of the Army, the Seven Core Values. It has everything that needs to be there. And I think the design with the banners going to the right is more compelling than design 4. However, I do believe the artists have done a masterful job with many of these designs. I think it's very difficult to put into a design something that encompasses hundreds of years of activity, and they did a very good job. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Robin. Sam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I looked at this medal, I wanted, obviously, the medal to be just extremely patriotic and dignified, and certainly should depict soldiers somewhere on the medal. And I also wanted the letters U.S. Army to only be on one side. So with that in mind, I had two pairings. The first pairing was obverse number 4. It's an excellent depiction of the modern and the historical soldier. The modern soldier also appears to be female, perhaps, which is a plus. It recognizes the airborne and the cavalry. I could take or leave that. That's fine, but it's nice. And I paired that with reverse 02. I think this is a very, very pretty design, and it's not my favorite, but I like it a lot. My preferences are going to be with the U.S. Army on the reverse, and my preference for the obverse would be number 13. It's a striking motion scene. I like it a lot. Again, the modern soldier appears to be female, which is great. It's got the slogan, "This We'll Defend," and it's got the date 1775, which is really, really important. On the reverse, I chose reverse number 8 because it includes the seven values. It also includes 1775. Which appears on the flag. It includes one team, one fight motto. The campaign streamers are there, although not identified, and it includes the Army flag. So my preference would be obverse 13 with reverse 8. And I'd like to give a special mention, I think Mary did this and others, to obverse 12. I just love the look of that design. Those are my comments, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Sam, thank you. Dennis Tucker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the committee has given its recommendations on the other military service medals. We don't yet know what those medals will look like. Because of that, we're reviewing our Army Medal as a standalone, which is fine. When I reviewed the portfolio of design candidates, I wanted to avoid repetition of the Mint's 1975 Army Bicentennial Medal, which is a very impressive medal, especially at the larger 3-inch size. It shows a Revolutionary War soldier and a modern soldier in profile with a fairly plain field. And we see some of that, those motifs here in these candidates, but I think more detailed and more dramatic in these designs that we're looking at today. The design that stood out for me most dramatically is Obverse 1. I like the potential it has for sculpturing in a layered effect with the clouds and the sunbeams in the background, and it has an attractive amount of detail in the foreground, which I think would work well on a 2-inch canvas. Obverse 1 shows the soldiers at the ready rather than engaged in combat, and that might be something I want to follow up with Dr. Williams on, whether there's a preference from our liaisons in showing the soldiers actually firing their weapons rather than standing with them and being ready to engage. I do like Obverse 4, which was one of our liaison recommendations, I believe. It shows the cavalry and the modern soldier engaged in combat. For the reverses, the campaign banners, I like the concept, but on a 2-inch canvas, my concern is that you're just not going to get enough detail for that really to stand out boldly and communicate what we're trying to communicate. Incidentally, for the reverses, the Army emblem with the armor is used centrally on that 1975 Bicentennial Medal that I mentioned. My preference for the reverse is number 6 because it communicates simply and directly. And sometimes in the past, we've talked about medals, we talked metaphorically about a medal's obverse being active, a verb, showing motion, which are some things that some of my colleagues have mentioned today. And then its reverse being more explanatory. That's a noun, right? That's where we put the text is on the reverse. So I think some of the obverses that have more wording are ones that I don't prefer as much. I think Obverse 1 says what it needs to say. It says United States Army. It's got the action. Even though these soldiers are not engaged in combat, they're certainly ready to be engaged. And so I think that the combination of Obverse 1 and Reverse 6 follows that equation of verb and noun, if you will, and makes a good combination. So my questions for Dr. Williams, I don't know if now is the time to ask them or if he wants to address them later, would be, is there a preference for combat versus at-the-ready depictions? And also I had a question, if he could speak a little bit about the slogan, one team, one fight, how that developed, how old is that slogan? Whether that's something that veterans and active service members think of when they think of the Army service. Those would be two questions that might help me inform my decision.
Okay, we'll do that, Dennis, at the end of with questions and answers with Dr. Williams. That'll be fine.
Thank you. That concludes my remarks, then.
Thank you, Dennis. Dean.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm here.
No problem.
Okay. Now, let me go, starting with the obverse. I like clean, simple designs. I like the on guard or on watch motif with limited text. So my favorite was actually number 9. And I think it's aligned with some of the other medals that we've at least recommended. I was thinking a little bit of the Canadian national anthem of Standing on Guard for Thee, with the two men looking in opposite directions. And I thought it was a nice looking medal, and the men were very nice looking as well. After Don's comments, I'm going to give some consideration to number one. I'm not as keen on number four or number 13 because they tend to mix up a little too much historical metaphor with history. So it's nice to see the two figures representing different eras, but I'm a little uncomfortable when they seem to be doing something together. You have a little less of that with number four, although it is busy. I wasn't actually sure that that was a Civil War soldier until it was explained to me on the horse. And I'm just not as keen on number 13. With the reverse, I have a number of comments. My favorite is number two. I like the words here, the core values. I like the flag. I liked the selectivity of the ribbons. I looked this up online. There are a lot of ribbons. And I think the ones they have selected are very good. I think they cover the major wars. I'm confused a little bit about abeyance. I think that may be referring to Operation Inherent Resolve. So I'd like some discussion of that. On the issue of ribbons, I don't like number four or number 4A. Somebody said number four looked like a peacock. To me, it looked like a turkey. And number 4A, to me, looked like the so-called feathered war bonnet of the Plains Indians. And I want to be very careful with what I'm going to say here, because I do not want to offend anyone at all. Dr. Brown, I want to honor your service. I've said to the group on other occasions, my grandfather fought in the Army in World War II and won two major medals. The Army fought valiantly in all of these battles that are represented. I would note that some of them are very hard to figure out what they are. Trenton, I think Boston. So the Army fought very hard in these battles. They fought with great honor. But the political decisions behind some of these campaigns are somewhat problematic, to say the least. And I would point out Chapultepec, the campaign in Mexico, that was a great military victory for the United States. First occupation of a foreign capital, Mexico City. But again, obviously that has different ramifications for Mexico. If we're looking at this internationally. Nez Perce, that's the Indian Wars. Again, that can be seen as problematic. I had to look up Laguna de Bay. I do Philippine history a little bit. This is what is now called the U.S.-Philippine War, what we used to call the Philippine Insurrection. Again, international context, world history, that's imperialism, Peking. This is the suppression by the Eight Nations of the Boxer Rebellion. Again, that's problematic. Panama, again, operation to get rid of Noriega, but also conjures up some of the other U.S. interventions in the Caribbean and Central American region earlier than that, whether or not you were a supporter of that campaign. So again, my point here is not to take issue with these campaigns, but just to think a little bit about how they resonate or might resonate with a wider public and even the international arena. Number eight is fine. It wasn't something that I was really drawn to, but I may give some points to. Like Dennis, I thought number six gets the job done. My only concern here is that United States Army you have on that, and you have that on almost all of the obverses. So it's just a little bit of redundancy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Dean, as well. Jeannie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I found this portfolio very interesting, and also kudos to the artists who partook in forming these designs. I have to agree with Donald. Number one is interesting. I'm not sure, as Dennis enjoyed the clouds, I'm not sure, that's just not too much information. So I'm my choice is number four. I thought it was a little more streamlined. I did like the Civil War rider on the bottom there. This is actually a larger medal. It's a 2-inch medal, so I don't think it's going to be lost in the palette. I also liked number 13 because it was more simple. The only problem for me was with 13, we don't have U.S. Army anywhere here if we pair it with a reverse with the same. So I'm liking number 13. I like one. I like number four for obverse. And for the reverse, this was a little challenging. Also, I appreciate Dean's remarks on number 4A. I think that was really good. But I think number reverse 2 is a little, as Sam says, it's quite pretty. And I love these dreamers. I'm sorry we don't have Vietnam somewhere on one of those somehow. But otherwise, I think this is a quite a lovely piece. And I do also like number 8 for its simplicity. So I will put a vote for that, too. That's all, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeannie. Dr. Peter Van Alphen.
Thank you. This is Peter. I'm really quite drawn to obverses 4 and 13 as well. I think that there's a lot of strength in the design of both of them. I think I have a slight preference for 13 over 4 simply because it's more apparent that the modern soldier seems to be a woman, and I think having that sort of gender diversity is a good idea, considering the fact that a good deal of our armed forces today, or the Army today, is comprised of women. The one concern, though, that I have about both of these obverses is just the emphasis on the weapons over, the individuals. And, again, this is, something that's been raised, a question for our liaison, whether if, the emphasis on combat, and here, even though it said that the soldiers are at the ready, and you can see that, the trigger finger is, not on the trigger, and the flintlock is still open, and so forth. I mean, it does the, engaging the enemy, and, this might be something, to discuss and consider. In terms of pairings, these with various reverses, I do like the simplicity of reverses 6 and 7, and I think they would pair well with either 4 or 13. But I have to say my overall preference actually is for obverse 3 and reverse 1. I think that these are in fact rather simple and elegant designs, and I also like the fact that there is essentially a physical link between the obverse and the reverse, in terms of the flagpole. That sort of a continuity from the obverse to the reverse, which also then links the past to the present. And here again, we have, a soldier of 1775, with a modern soldier who again is represented as a woman. And so I really quite like that pairing and the linking of the obverse reverse together. So those are my comments.
Thank you, Peter. As I reviewed these as well and listening to everyone's comments, I'm drawn to obverse 1, 4, and 13. And, for the obvious reasons that have already been stated, when it comes to the reverse, I originally thought 4 and 4A were probable. But in looking at reverse 2, that's really seems to me to be a pretty special way everything is juxtaposed there. It would be nice, and I don't know if this is a question later on for Joe, if we could add another ribbon in there that would have Vietnam. I know that was some of the comments from the committee or concern, and maybe that's a possibility. And if it is Joe, I don't, you know, we don't want to redesign metals, but or designs, but I do like reverse too as well. Now moving on, as you know, our liaison, Dr. Glenn Williams, just to bring you back to speed there, Dr. Williams is the senior historian at the U.S. Army Center for Military History. And I know a couple of people had some questions, so I'm going to open that up now. Dennis, I'll start with you. I know you had a question for Dr. Williams.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Williams, first of all, welcome again, and thank you for your work on this program. We appreciate that. It's always nice to have that kind of direct involvement. My question would be, is there a preference for scenes that show either combat or what to a layman or a non-service member would look like combat versus a scene that shows service members on guard or at the ready?
Well, either one would be acceptable to us, but you know, the first line of the Army's service anthem is first to fight. You know, that is the main purpose of the service. Being and engaging implies readiness by itself. So that's how I would answer that. We would be fine with either one, but I don't see a distinction between readiness and engaging.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. For me, that question, I was asking mostly to help me decide between number one, obverse one, and obverse four. So that's helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
And then my second question was if you could speak a bit about some of the slogans that we see on these medal candidates. One in particular is one team, one fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that goes through a lot of the history of the Army, particularly late 20th century. But it is really resonating now with our current force. I'm retired Army myself, and I have relatives and friends that served in some of our sister services. And although we have an inter-service rivalry, we usually end up agreeing, well, they all start with U.S. Mm-hmm. So one team, one fight does resonate with the current force.
Thank you for that feedback, sir, and thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm. It was my honor to serve.
Okay, any other questions for Dr. Williams? Okay.
I just want one comment on one of the earlier discussions where one of the participants said colonial soldier. And remember, we ceased being colonists on July 4th, 1776. The Army was established as the Continental Army, not the Colonial Army, so please use Continental when you're talking about the regular Army of the Revolutionary War.
There you go, for sure.
Mr. Chair, can I say a word or two?
Pardon me, who was this?
This is Lawrence Brown.
Oh, okay, sir, certainly.
I just would like to say a word or two because I do appreciate the comments from any of the members of the CCAC. And one of the things that I'd like to really articulate is that service in the military and service in the Army really is without any you're not driven really by the political context in which you are providing that service. It's something that you are called to arms. For me, I was drafted, so I didn't join. But the fact of the matter is that at least during the time that I served, as much as people may have concerns about the Vietnam conflict, while you were there, there was no doubt in your mind what you were going to do and what you had to do. So I think that it's important that the CCAC understands that this medal really celebrates the people who served. They didn't always make the decision about where they're going to serve, but they made a decision to serve their country. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Very good. Very good points. Are there any other comments for Joe Mena or for Ron or for April or the design, any of the design managers?
Mr. Chair?
I'd like to make a couple of comments, if I could, that were raised earlier. As far as the Army is concerned and how we portray the campaign streamers, the official names of those conflicts is still the Mexican War, the Philippine Insurrection. It is not the Boxer Rebellion. It is the China Relief Expedition. Just like to say that even with the occupation of Mexico City, who did the Mexican government turn to ask to be their president? Well, it was Brigadier General Winfield Scott, the commander of the U.S. Army.
Okay, Dr. Williams, thank you very much. Appreciate the information and once again your service as well. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll score the obverse and the reverse candidates' designs for the United States Army Silver Medal. Everyone should have an email in your packet from the Mint that should have received the score sheet. We ask that you please fill that in and either paste or attach it as an email. You can make a photograph of it. Then send the scoring sheets to Mint Counselor Greg Wyman. Greg will tally the scores and present the results in a few minutes. And with that, Greg, unless you have anything else to add, we'll take a five-minute break while everyone is scoring.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
They're starting to come in. Anybody, I will jump in and if I don't receive anybody's scores.
Greg, did you receive mine? This is Donald.
Hold on 1 second.
I emailed it.
Let me see. It's just they're just starting to come in. No, not yet. I have not. The only one I've received so far is Michael Moran, but our system does lag a bit. So give it just a few minutes, and I'll come back online.
Okay, and with that, it's 12:06, 12:07. Let's just say 12:15. We'll reconvene. Thank you. Back. This time I'd like to recognize Greg Wyman, counsel to the CCAC, to present the results of the United States Army Silver Medal. Scoring.
The scoring is complete. There's all 11 members are voting. Therefore, there's a possibility of 33 points. For the obverses, obverse 1 received 18, 2 received 5, obverse 3 received 4 points, obverse 3A received 4 points, obverse 4 received 17, obverse 5 received 6. Obverse 6 received 2. Obverse 6A received 2. Obverse 6B received 2. Obverse 7 received 2. Obverse 9 received 11. Obverse 11 received 4. Obverse 12 received 10. Obverse 12A received 6. And Obverse 13 received 21, making it the top vote getter. With more than 50% of the points possible. For the reverses, reverse 1 received 6 points. Reverse 2 received 23, making it the top vote getter. Reverse 3 received 4 points. Reverse 4 received 10 points. Reverse 4A received 13 points. Reverse 5 received 5 points. Reverse 6 received 10 points. Reverse 7 received 5 points, and Reverse 8 received 15 points.
Did you say 15?
Once again, the top 15. So therefore, once again, the top vote getters were Obverse 13 with 21 points, Reverse 2 with 23 points.
Okay, and Reverse 3 received how many points?
Reverse 3 received 4 points.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Greg, and everyone. Are there any motions? There aren't any motions.
I just moved to accept these scores.
Okay, I think.
Tom, this is Mike Moran. I think we need one fix. We need to get U.S. Army on one side or the other of reverse 2 or obverse 13. And I also think we need to consider adding a Vietnam streamer to 13.
Joe, would you like to comment on those two alterations?
That would more properly be addressed to April. We can physically sculpt anything that's there, but any design changes go through April's group.
Okay, April, would you like to make any comments regarding Mike's?
So we have two items, the inclusion of U.S. Army or United States Army on either obverse 13 or reverse 2, which are the recommendations at present, seem to be the recommendations by the committee. I believe that every other medal in the Armed Forces Silver Medal series did include the name of the branch. Personally, the program office would concur with that. I presume, Dr. Williams, are you still on the line?
I'm here.
You would agree with the including U.S. Army?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Joe, I'm going to throw back to you if that's okay. I don't know if you want to take some time to consider it, but right now we have the choices of obverse 13 or reverse 2. And I wonder if you see that there's a better option between those two designs to add the inscription U.S. Army.
Other than the ones that already have the United States Army on them, not really.
No, the two designs that are
I think this will defend would have to be adjusted to accommodate U.S. Army. You know, you have to make a compromise between the motto and the branch.
This is Jeannie. Can I step in for a minute, Joe?
Go ahead, Jeannie.
Sure.
Oh, you know, if I'm looking at the reverse 2, and we have the streamers. Could we not put U.S. Army just above so it would match the text of loyalty, duty, and so forth, just across the top where we say U.S. Army in that negative area?
I think that's a great idea. You could drop the entire flag and ribbon configuration a little bit. And then you would have the room. You'd lose the beginning of United on the bottom, but if you went, you lose the Army's logo emblem. But if you drop it a little bit, then you could arc U.S. Army, United States Army across the top with smaller font.
Yes, but could you just put U.S. Army? Would that make it a little easier instead of putting the entire United States?
Certainly.
Yeah.
This is Dennis. Would there be any objection from the Army abbreviating United States to U.S.? We've tried to avoid...
I don't think we'd have a problem with that.
Sorry, sir?
I don't think we would have a problem with that.
Okay.
This is Mary. I have a question. What if we took obverse 13 and we replaced this will defend with United States Army? And then it says since 1775.
I agree with that. I think that's a good idea. This is Dean Kotlowski.
This is Peter. I agree as well. I think it makes more sense linguistically to have U.S. Army since 1775. And then perhaps this will defend could be placed on the reverse where it would make since presumably it's the flag as well as... these various values that are being defended.
Okay, those are all good thoughts. Would someone like to make a motion regarding those changes?
This is Mary Lannon. I would like to make a motion that on obverse 13, we remove this will defend and replace it with either United States Army or U.S. Army, and on reverse number 2, we lower the flag slightly and add this will defend. Okay, yeah, I think it's a slightly larger typeface if you can do it, Joe.
Jeannie, would you, since you brought up the arrangement there, would you like to second that?
Yes, I'll second that. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? So, Auburn 13. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Would you like to discuss the a potential addition of a streamer to recognize the efforts in Vietnam separately from this motion?
Yeah, I think let's do it. That'll be cleaner. Okay. Unless there's some reason not to, that'll make it cleaner. We'll do one at a time. Is that okay?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
It's Dean again. Do we absolutely need to put in "this will defend"? I think that it makes a strong point with just United States Army and then reverse two as it is. And if you're going to add a streamer on Vietnam, I think this gets entwined here. Might that make this a little bit too busy if we have "this will defend"?
Well, we have the motion.
Dean, this is Mary. I agree with what you're saying.
Mary,
I would like to amend my motion. My motion is now we will remove "this will defend" from the obverse number 13 and eliminate that phrase, and we will leave reverse number 2 as it is, but we would like to include a Vietnam streamer. Is that okay, Tom?
I second that motion.
Well, wait a minute. We have to have Jeannie agree to this.
I will agree to that, yes. I second
okay.
that motion.
And then Dr. Williams, just for the record, is that appropriate?
It's more important to have U.S. Army than it is to have our motto.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, okay, so this is Lawrence. Can I speak to the
motion? And we have a second. And it includes adding the Vietnam ribbon to the reverse. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, I'd like to take a motion to vote on this. Go ahead.
This is Lawrence Brown. I'd like to speak to the motion. I'd like to, in fact, enthusiastically embrace it. As someone who served in Vietnam, I'm thankful for my colleagues who, in fact, want to recognize the probably millions of Americans who served, for whom they will find a connection with this medal.
Thank you. I was happy that it would be brought up and that we could add that in. So with that, I'm going to do a roll call vote. And Dr. Brown, is a yes, right?
Right.
Enthusiastically.
Correct. Donald Scarinci?
Yes.
Michael Moran?
Yes.
Mary Lannan?
Yes.
Robin Solomon?
Yes.
Sam Gill?
Yes.
Dennis Tucker?
Yes.
Dean Kowalski?
Yes.
Gene Stephen Solomon?
Yes.
Peter Van Alphen?
Yes.
Chairman Uram, yes. Motion passes unanimously. And I thank everyone for their work today. And Dr. Williams, thank you. I think that the Army will have an outstanding silver medal and appreciate all the time and effort that you and the design team put in to make this a success.
My pleasure.
If there aren't any further motions, and I think there are, I want to thank the committee for their work today. And this will conclude our business for today, and we'll go into recess until tomorrow, September 23rd, 2020, when we will reconvene at 9 a.m. This meeting stands in recess until 9 a.m., September 23rd, 2020. Everyone have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Chair.